In your Bibles, the book of Genesis chapter number 2 tonight, book of Genesis chapter number 2. If you don't follow certain people on Facebook, I'm going to let you know something that happened yesterday. A lot of you folks who go to camp and you remember Brother Clyde Spain, who went with the Lord a few years ago. He used to do the main services on the tabernacle. He passed away a couple years ago, but his wife actually passed away yesterday. She went to be with the Lord yesterday around, I believe Mary Grace said, about 11:17 in the morning. So if you could, just remember to pray for, I don't know if they had kids, but I knew Mark Gray and Mary Gray considered them to be their parents. So if you could, just remember Mark and Mary, because I know they're very close with them. So pray that God just work and bless them in that time. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles, as you already done so, and I'm going to get my notes up here real quick. Good to be here? See, I don't like silence, so I got to do this every once in a while. We're going to be talking about exercise tonight, and I'm going to get this word from a word that we're going to look at in verse number 15. And we're going to read this verse first, and then I'm going to back up, and I'm going to start in verse number 1, then read down to verse number 15 again. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." The word that's not written down there is the word work. And from the word work, you're going to get another word, and that's going to be exercise. So that is going to be the fourth letter that we're going to be dealing with tonight. So let's back up and let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 2. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heaven, the earth, and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground." So with that being said, you know that when man is going to be created, what is man going to do as he comes into the garden? Well, there's going to be work that has to be done. He's going to have to be doing some exercises as well for this. And I don't know, when I use the word exercise, I'm talking about repetition. So let's begin reading here again, verse number 6. It says, "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for the food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and a tree of knowledge of good and evil." I'm going to stop here real quick. We all like, especially at this time of the year, to go to the farmer's market and to buy the fruit and to buy the vegetables that have been growing on the trees or have sprung up from the ground, and then we partake of that, and then there is just this special treat, especially when you dive into those special fruits. Yesterday, I went to the little place up here on North 8th Street. I love that place. I haven't had a chance to be there this year, but I went up there yesterday, and I got a bunch of corn. I can't wait to dive into that. But there is something else that I have not seen until this year, and that was fresh peaches. I love fresh peaches. And so I asked her, I said, "Hey, are those for sale?" And she almost wanted to say, "You dummy, they're here for a reason." Yes, they're for sale. And so I said, "Hey, I would like to have one of those." She goes, "You don't want more?" I said, "No, I'm probably going to be the only one to eat those things." But come to find out, when I got home, my wife says, "Why didn't you get more?" Now I know to buy more. But I remember as I opened up that bag and I got home, I began to cut that peach open and begin to put that in my mouth, and I just began to savor the flavor that it came in. And I began to think about, wow, what a tremendous opportunity we have that God gave us from the beginning, a garden that he allowed man to be a part of and to partake of the fruit and the vegetables that were there as well. And so that's neat to me. So let's continue to go on now that I made everybody hungry for some peaches. It says in verse number 9, it says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for the food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land that is good, that is bdellium, and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that to compass the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God, again, as we read this earlier, let's look at this. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Notice what God didn't do. God did not put man in this garden to be lazy. What did God do? God put man in his garden to work. And we know that work is a form of exercise. And that's the word that I'm going to focus on tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go on further. Lord, again, it is a joy to be here this evening. Lord, again, what a great privilege that you've allowed us to be here today, to be underneath the preaching of your word. I can't thank you enough for reconnecting an old friend of mine. And Lord, now we're older in life and we're both in the ministry, and what an exciting thing that is. And I thank you for allowing our paths to cross once again, to be a blessing to us. God, I pray that you would continue to bless Brother Current and his ventures ahead of him. I pray, Lord, that more doors would be open to him, that he would be able to go into these churches to be an encouragement and to be a blessing to the folks that you would have him to be a blessing to. Lord, guide us as we go through your word tonight. We ask it in your name. Amen. We're continuing tonight with the fourth letter of the word speedy. So let's review, as I would like to do all the time. So far, we have covered the letter S, and that is the word for support. Exactly. Again, this is geared towards us as a church, what we are to be doing to each other and for each other, not just each other, but for the church as well. Would you not agree that we as a church need to support one another? Would you not agree as a church that we need not just to support each other, but support the local church? So this is why this series has come to place. So we covered this word. The second letter is P, and that stood for participation. Is it not important to be participating into the lives of believers that God has called us to worship with? With that being said, is it not important for us to be participating in the events of the church that God has allowed us to be a part of? It is. So we learned the word participation. And then last week, we went through the letter E, and that stood for evangelizing. Is it not important for us to evangelize to each other? But also, let's take this a step further. Is it not important for us not just to evangelize to each other? Because that's what Brother Mike did to us this morning. He evangelized to us. He taught us the word. He encouraged us in the word. He gave us some good things to abide by. But not only is it good for us to evangelize to each other, it's also good for us to evangelize to who? To the world, the lost. Exactly. Why? Because they need Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And so these are things that we should be doing in the church and for each other. Again, this is a reminder of how a body of believers are to be behaving towards the church and each other. Tonight, we will be dealing with the fourth letter E, and this word is going to stand for the word exercise. And I'm not talking about exercise that is beneficial to the body, because we all know the Word of God says, bodily exercise, what? Profiteth little. Exactly. I'm living proof of that today. Bodily exercise profiteth little. And what we need to focus on is not exercising our body physically, but exercising what is good for the soul. What is good for the soul? Even in the garden, before sin even crept into the world, here's what took place. Man had a responsibility to work. God did not design man to sit around and to be lazy. Isaac, can you imagine? You're a farmer here tonight. Sterling, you're here as well. You're a farmer. You guys grew up in this. This is your livelihood now. This is what God has called you to do. This is what puts food on your table. This is what puts a roof over your head and all those things. Gas in the gas tank to come here to be able to fellowship with us. But could you imagine with that occupation, all you did was sit around? See, today we have the idea, well, farmers only work a certain amount of time for the year. No, a farmer is constantly thinking about how to make his crop better for the next year. There is no downtime in the life of a farmer. They're constantly working. Could you imagine being a lazy farmer tonight, Isaac? Could you imagine just waking up, I planted, I'm just going to expect everything to grow, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to go out and play some darts. I'm going to go out and play some pool. No, there's work that takes place with that. And so every day, you got to get up, and you got to exercise to do what is necessary to make that crop be beneficial for you. Would you agree with me on that? There is exercise in that. God called you to this to be effective in the field that you're in. God didn't make man unfit to work and to collect off the government. That's a big problem today. People who take advantage of a situation who are really able to work, but they choose not to. And then the ones who cannot work can't get the help that they need for financial assistance. It's kind of a corrupt system when you begin to think about those things. And that's a whole nother sermon that I'm not going to go down tonight. Although the garden was made perfect, it still had to be maintained. And Adam had a big responsibility to keep it up. He had to keep it, and he had to dress it. Anyone who has ever had a garden knows of the responsibility that comes with the work. First of all, what you have to do, again, you have to exercise. You have to tell yourself, hey, man, I got to get up, and I got to get my legs moving, I got to get my arms moving, and I got to get out there. And the first thing, if I want to have a successful garden, I got to cultivate the land. And you guys have bigger machines than we have. You have tractors. But us poor people in here, all we have are rototillers and maybe a little garden hoe. Don't you feel sorry for us tonight? But you got to get up there, and we got to cultivate the land. And then once we begin to prepare the land, as we begin to work, we're still exercising everything. And then once that crop gets put in, here's what we got to do. We don't just sit back and become lazy. We begin to pray, God, hey, this is planted, but God, could you please bring the rain? Why do we need the rain? Because the rain causes things to grow. God had a perfect watering system set up to where things would grow consistently. Today, we cultivate, we plant the seed, and then we wait for the rain to come. And then when the rain comes, guess what comes with that? Well, as the seed begins to germinate, there are other things that begin to germinate as well along with that seed. And what's that called? It's called weeds, exactly. And too many weeds can choke out the plant. If you get too many weeds in your garden, or if you get too many weeds in your grassy area that you want to take care of, when you get those weeds in there, everything that you designed for it to be pretty at that point in time, if you don't take care of the weeds, then that garden's going to be choked out. You got to exercise. You got to get out there, and you got to begin to pull those things. Exercising your back, exercising your hands, lifting and pulling until we get to the very last weed. For what? To start it all over again the very next week. It's a continuous thing. This kind of work also takes place in the church. And that is a removal of the tares from the wheat. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 24 down through verse number 30 tonight. 24 down through verse number 30. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When Jeff and I, and this happened the first time that I was in Israel, and it happened a second time, we actually pulled over to the side of the road because our tour host that went with us wanted to show us exactly what a tare looked like. And Jeff, to back me up on this, it looked exactly like what, Jeff? He's looking at it, it looked just exactly like the wheat. They look the same. Let's begin to read on here tonight. Verse number 25. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. When this began to take place, there is a warning. Hey, do not pluck up the tares, because if you pluck up the tares, then you're going to remove the wheat as well. So here's what we got to do. We got to wait until this comes time for us to harvest these things. We'll pick them together, and then we'll separate the tares from the wheat. And that's the process that they had to do at that point in time. Unfortunately, we have enemies inside the church, ones who are not for you and they are not for God. These enemies will plant seeds of discord, seeds of disunity, seeds of deceit. The enemy that plants things as these can cause harm to a believer and the body of Christ as well. It can cause a crop of good believers to become unusable for the ministry. What's my point in all this? Well, we have to exercise some things. And I will get to this here in a little bit. When this enemy attacks in this way, the church body must start exercising in this way. And that is this. One, we need to be in prayer. Well, what do we need to be praying for? Well, let me give you this. First, we need to pray for the heart of the enemy to be changed. That's what we need to pray for. We don't need to be praying any ill will towards them. We don't need to be praying, curse them, let them die. We don't need to be praying that way because, first of all, that's ungodly. That's not Christ-like. That's not what Christ would do. And so we got to act as Christ would act. And then because Christ acts that way, we need to act that way. And because Christ has compassion and love, what do we need to have? Compassion and love as well. And so with that being said, we need to pray, God, I know that they mean ill towards me. Lord, I know that they don't really care for me. But God, would you please do me a favor and would you please begin to change their heart? We need to exercise forgiveness. That's what we need to exercise tonight. We need to exercise our right in going to God in prayer as well. But so often we create something in our minds and we say, well, they're just evil people. They're no good. And so therefore, I don't have a desire to wish them well. I don't have a desire for their heart to change. And so I'm not going to think anything of them anymore. And I'm just going to wash my hands and be away. No, God wants us to pray for them because God wants their hearts changed as well. So we need to exercise our right that we have because we're his children to pray for the heart of the enemy to be changed. We pray this way because even though they seem unforgivable, we must remember that God always forgives, and because God always forgives, we must forgive as well. Isn't it horrible if you go to somebody and ask for forgiveness and said, I don't forgive you? Folks, that's not how God designed us. When somebody is genuinely sorry and truly repentant and comes and seeks your forgiveness, we need to forgive as well. Amen? When we don't forgive, you know what's taking place? We're being held in bondage to that idea. The one who has come and asked for forgiveness, guess what? They're the ones who are set free. But because we choose to have a bitterness and have a hatefulness towards others, we're the ones that are held in bondage here. But we need to exercise our right that we have with God to pray for the enemy's heart to be changed. We also do this because we want to see them, and this is my biggest goal. I want to see wayward believers, ones who are bitter, ones who have hard hearts, I want to see them to be restored so that they not only have a great relationship with you once again, but I want to see them have a great relationship with God once again. How does that take place? That takes place when we as a church begin to exercise what God has given us to help restore that individual. Many of you folks here probably tonight, when you thought of this other letter that I was going to give you, probably thought I was going to talk about edifying. I'll be honest with you, that was my first thought. But God began to change that along the way here. So we want to see them be restored. Yes, God's people, and I want to point this out because this is true, God's people can become our enemies if we let them. And they can become tares as well. The second thing that we must do is to exercise proper church discipline when it needs to be taken place. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. Book of Matthew, chapter number 18. We'll read verse number 15 down through verse number 19 this evening. Matthew 18, verse 15, down through verse number 19. It says this, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." What does that say? If thou shalt trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. It's not for anybody else to come to you. Because you've told somebody else what the problem that you have with them, you go to your brother. That's one of the reasons why a lot of problems in the church never get solved, because nobody's going to each other. Instead, we're going to each other about things. We're spreading gossip. We're spreading rumors. We're abusing their name and all those things that take place. We're bringing shame to God instead of going to one another trying to solve the issue. If we have an issue with somebody, we need to go in. Let me say this. Not in hatred. I mean, think about this. Let's say Isaac and I have a problem tonight. Isaac, you sure are stupid. I'm just going to tell you how I feel about you. I don't like the shirt that you wear. I don't like the jeans that you wear. And I just have a problem with it. You need to change. You know, how is that going to solve anything? It's not going to solve anything. We don't come out of animosity toward each other. We don't come and try to solve because there's this hatred. But here's what we do. Because we have one thing in common, and who is that? It's Jesus Christ. So because of that, I'm going to come to Isaac, and hopefully he'll do this as well to me, if that's the case. And he's going to say, hey Isaac, I love you tonight. But can you please hear me out? I have something I want to say. I want to get it off my chest. And if you approach people in the right way, guess what can take place? Problems can be resolved correctly. But when you come out of anger, they're not going to be resolved. But it's our job to go towards each other. Tom, would you not feel offended tonight if I begin to talk to Jeff about you? That's not how we're supposed to be. But when that takes place, there is something that needs to take place in church to stop that, and that's church discipline, because we don't want that to continue to go on. Let's continue to read here. Verse number 15, let's start all over again. It says, "Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." I'm going to stop right here. It doesn't say to go to the pastor, does it? It doesn't say that at all. Matter of fact, the pastor is left out of this at this point in time. There will come a time as this begins to develop and go along in the proceedings, and hopefully it doesn't get that to that place, but there will come a time where church leadership will have to step in. But hopefully it doesn't take those things. Let's continue to go on here. It says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, verse number 17, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask it, shall be of them, shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to be honest with you. I have never been a fan of church discipline. But when matters are not taken care of, that problem can become like a cancer and ruin the church. And that's not what we want as a church. What do doctors do when they find out your body has cancer? They throw everything at it that they can to stop it. And if this treatment's not successful, they're going to go to the next treatment. Why? Because they don't want it to spread in your body and take your life. Issues in a church that are not dealt with will spread like cancer, and it will ruin a church. And we need to exercise things when they need to be exercised. I was a part of a church discipline when we first went into Twin Cities Baptist Church years ago. And I tell you what, it wasn't fun. But I'm glad that through that process, it took about 3 years. Through that process, that individual was able to come back and sought forgiveness. Now, where are they at spiritually in their life right now? I don't know. I can assume where they're at just from what I see on things. But that's between God and them. God has given us the church, which is us. And we are to go back to verse number 15 of chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. What are we to do? We're to take care of it. Keep it. And to dress it. That also means to take a stand on things even when it isn't popular. There are so many areas in the church that we need to be exercising to make the Christ, the body of Christ, holy before him. I now fall into the category of being held accountable before God on how this church is led. And believe me, I take it very seriously. When I heard last week what came out of my mouth, it bothered me like no other. Some of you folks caught it, but I did not catch it. But that goes to prove to you the battle that takes place behind that pulpit. Because Satan is trying to ruin things in this church. And so what I said last week, I ask publicly, please forgive me. Because here's what I said. I said, Satan is our Lord and Savior. And I had no idea. You see what Satan's trying to do? And some can take that and hold that against me. And I pray that you don't. And I am held accountable. There will be some things that I must take a stand on that won't be very understandable to some people because of the convictions that God has given me. I'm going to say this tonight. Carrie, you and I are totally two different people. That's obvious. Very obvious. But what I have come to find out, even though we both have a relationship with God, her convictions are not my convictions. So I hope we understand that. Just because she believes something differently, a little bit differently than I do, does not mean that I'm not going to associate with her anymore because she has a different belief system. Matter of fact, one of my good friends believes a lot differently than I do, who is in the ministry. And some people would not associate with him. But you know what? I enjoy talking to him because it sharpens me, because it causes me to get in the Word of God and study things out a little bit harder and a little bit more. But our convictions are a little bit different. But that's okay. But we judge people because they don't believe the same way that we do. We judge people because they don't dress the same way that we do. I like what Brother Curran said this morning. He dressed a part, he looked a part, he acted a part, but he was an unsaved man who sat in his church. I wonder how many unsaved people are actually in Open Door Baptist Church right now, looking and dressing a part. Something to consider, amen? It takes work to present ourselves holy before God. It takes us to do some exercising to make ourselves holy before the Lord God. The exercise process can be draining, but it's also very, very rewarding. I have seen people put in countless hours at the gym, exercising, trying to make their body healthier than what it was before. And as they put in that time and as they put in an effort, they begin to see the rewards. They begin to see the benefits of those things. And that's great. That's good for people to do those things. But if we are to invest more of our time exercising, not just our body physically, but pour more of our time in exercising ourselves in the Word of God, how much rewarding that will be in our life. Can I get an amen to that? Today, the average person will spend countless hours in the gym just to make themselves healthier. They spend time removing the tares. What are the tares for those people? Bad food, the bad drinks. They remove those things. Why? So they won't be influenced to cheat. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8 says this, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and that which is to come." We know more today what it takes to keep ourselves physically fit than we do about being spiritually fit. We'll take the time, we'll study things out to get ourselves to exercise properly, but we don't spend the time to educate ourselves, to exercise ourselves to be more spiritually fit. I saw a man today, as he gave forth the Word of God, nervous, stumbling a little bit, but he exercised his time in the Word of God to deliver a message that this church needed today. And I thank God for that. He was telling me last night, he goes, "Chad, a couple years ago," he goes, "it was nothing for me just to go off and just start running 3 miles without even thinking about it." That's the kind of shape he's in. But God changed his course. He's saying, "Hey, it's not about the physical exercise to make yourself look good. It's about spiritually exercising yourself in me." We need to be exercising ourselves in the Word of God, allowing it to become a part of our life. If parents could encourage your kids and discipline themselves in God's Word, this world would be so much different than it is now. A world without the knowledge of God's Word is a world that is on the verge of being ruined. I'm not knocking those who exercise because I do it myself. I take the time out to try and stay in shape. I do the best that I can, but I'm going to be honest with you. I enjoy eating ho-hos and cupcakes and having ice cream. I enjoy those things. It's funner for me. I see quicker rewards eating those things than I do exercising. But I'm not knocking those who do those things. But I do get concerned when I see a lack of godly exercising in the lives of people. It's sad to see people not working out their own faith. Turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter number 2. Book of James, chapter number 2. Read a few verses here this evening. James chapter 2, verse number 17 through verse number 20. It says this, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What this verse is saying is we need to start exercising our faith by producing works. Now is not the time to become lazy. Now is the time to be working harder than ever. And I can guarantee you tonight, if you were to ask Sterling, if you were to ask Isaac, they can show you some lazy farmers. They can show you where their crops are suffering because they're not exercising, they're not putting in the time and the effort to keep their field the way that it needs to be kept. All in a while, they're doing everything that they can do to keep their field in good shape so that they can have a good reward when harvest comes. We need to be exercising of our faith by producing works. And it's not the time to be lazy. There is more to being a believer than just by reading God's word, and that is this. Don't get me wrong, reading God's word is great. But today, now more than ever, we need to be evangelizing to this world. We need to be active and supporting what was talked about a few weeks ago, the things of the church. We need to exercise being a participant in all the areas of the church. Some have thought in these last several Wednesday nights that church has not existed and have stayed home, missing out on evangelizing to the kids and to the seniors who need our help. We don't do these things because of man. We do these things because of God. Some will go to heaven without any works on their behalf. Some will walk into heaven's gates and they'll say, God, thank you for saving my soul, but I have produced nothing for you. Because I have not exercised my right as a believer. I did not work out my faith. I let everybody else do it. So God, please just put me in a corner where nobody can see me right now. And I feel sorry for those individuals. God has called every single one of us to go out into this world to teach and preach the gospel. As I said, we don't do these things because of man. We do these things because of God. And if you go to heaven without any works or any fruit on your behalf, you will be labeled a fruitless believer. You know why most exercises fail? Because we lose focus of what the main goal is. We lose focus of what the main goal is. I'm being honest with you tonight. As honest as I can be, some of God's people have lost their focus. Exercise is no longer important. I'm talking about spiritual exercise. Just because you get off track doesn't mean it's time to quit. I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God who gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. But let me encourage you tonight. If you fall, if you fail, get up. No matter how many times you might fail, get up. Keep exercising your faith in God. And the best way to succeed is to have a partner that will hold you accountable and encourage you along the way. I'm going to close with this thought. If you take offense to it, that's between you and God. I do not have time tonight for Debbie Downers in my life. I do not have time tonight for nitpickers. I do not have time tonight for complainers. I do not have time tonight for disgruntled people. Why do I not have time for that tonight? Because there is a world that is lost and going to hell. And I don't want to devote any time that I should not have to devote for such things as that. I should be exercising my right and evangelizing this world, supporting the things of this church, being a participant, and being an encouragement as well, and going out and winning lost souls. If I let anything else distract me, guess what? That's going to take time away from those things. I have people say, hey, have you read this book? Have you read that book? Have you read this and that book? I said, no, I don't have time. And here's why. Because I don't want to devote time to books because the Word of God is more important to me than other books. That's my thought. You guys have different thoughts. That's just my conviction. You might have a different conviction, as I said earlier. Some are bookworms. I'm just not that way. And I'm not faulting people for that. Matter of fact, I'm jealous of people who can read a book within a week. I'm jealous of people who can read a book within a day. Because I don't have that ability. But I do not have time for Debbie Downers. It is this type of person that will keep me from properly exercising my spiritual walk with God. It's time we put all those away. It's time that we forgive. It's time that we put things behind us and stop looking behind us and move forward and do the work for God that God has called us to do as a church. We, as Open Door Baptist Church, need to be exercising. I've thrown a challenge out to you. It's not for me to sit there and say, okay, let's come, you got to do this. No, that's something you got to come to. I can't force anybody. As I said here this morning, we have men who meet after church that has grown, and they go over and they begin to pray. You know why that's taking place? Because they're exercising their faith in God, and they want God to protect His church. And they want God to work in your lives and hearts. And you have no idea what they're praying for, but they're praying their hearts out. And God's working tremendously. And I thank God to be a part of a church like that. I'm excited tonight. Excited tonight seeing what God's doing and taking place. Isaac, I picked on you a lot tonight for this reason. You're in the front row, and I love you. Would you please do us the honor of dismissing us in prayer?